This episode of Speakers of Eidolon is made possible by our generous patrons, like Chris, Craig Marshall, Bellafrey Dragontooth, Clinway, Metelligo Phalion, Amara May, Adam James, Dan Wilkerson, Christoph Haas, Centra, Amy Veris, Infinitron, Casey Schaefer, Alex Bowles, and Omega Cat Comet. Support the show and become a patron today at patreon.com/speakersxiv.
This is Speakers of Eidolon.
Good evening, Iorcians. Welcome to Speakers of Eidolon, episode 53. I'm Lakeel Bravestone, and I'm joined by Yas Pot today. So it's just the two of us today, and we're gonna help. We're gonna guide you through this episode. I mean, the Amela will probably be back next week, but for now, it's just Yas and I, and we're gonna talk about the recent interview Mr. Happy had with Yoshi P. Because he asked some really good questions, and we got some really interesting answers from this interview. Mm. Also, obviously, patch 4.05, which was released last Tuesday. And we're also just going to mention quickly an absurd change that has been announced for patch 4.06. I thought it was a bit of a weird announcement to make. So let's first talk about the channel, as usual. Remnants of a Realm was not released this week, if you haven't noticed. That was basically just me. I had to catch up to the game, because I had been lost in like 1.0 life. So I was falling behind on eye level and all that. So I've just been trying to catch up on that. Also, yes, you're having a Let's Play coming up with mm-hmm. Final Fantasy 12.
Yeah.
Still don't know quite what we're going to call it. It's just going to be like Speaker's Place or something like that. So just so you know, that's not going to affect anything else on the channel. That's additional content, so that's good. And also have to talk about Final Fantasy... No, sorry. We're going to talk about... Jesus! SpeakersXIV.com, our website. We're going to talk about SpeakersXIV.com. That website is now in service, and there are actually very talented people writing articles on that right now. So make sure you... I don't know what happened to my voice there, but they're writing articles on that right now. So if you want to read some stuff about 14, that's the place you can go and check it out. SpeakersXIV.com, make sure to check it out. Link in... I don't think Nightbot has that link in on the... No, it doesn't. I will add that later. But if you're watching this on demand on YouTube, the link should be in the description. And also, every new episode of Remnants of a Realm will now have the full article version, I think, at launch whenever I upload a video. So you can click the link there and go more in-depth after you watch the video. okay, so let's talk about this interview then, that Yoshi P, no sorry, Mr. Happy had with Yoshi P. So it was basically done like two days ago? I think it was like on the 20th?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and it's basically just, I think it's 7 questions, and they're all very interesting, so we're gonna have to talk about and discuss every single one here. So the first question I want to say that Yoshi P is interviewing Mr. Happy for some reason. My brain is just broken. So he's the first question here. It's actually 8 questions. Many players have been finding changes made to their jobs unsatisfying in Stormblood. For example, Dragoon players have voiced that the wind up time for Life of the Dragon to be extensive and punishing. Scholars and warriors have also voiced concerns with adjustments to their abilities. What kind of feedback has the team been receiving about the changes made to the various jobs? So this is something we've already sort of talked about in almost every single episode.
Well, even Mr. Happy's like, I kind of regret asking this question because we got all those changes right after he finished the interview.
Yeah, so this is a bit of a redundant question, but... we'll make major adjustments to each job upon the release of the Dimensional Rift Omega Deltascape Savage Raid in patch 4.05. We will be revealing what kind of adjustments we will be making during our next letter from the producer live, so keep an eye out for that. So this is not from the 20th then. So this is earlier. It was probably,
I mean, I assume the questions were probably written earlier.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
But, you know, translations and stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so on to the actual good questions. The final encounter in the Stormblood main scenario questline is quite frankly one of the most impressive encounters we've had in the story in some time. The community definitely expects an extreme difficulty for this trial. If a higher difficulty is released, can we expect it to rival the difficulty that the minstrel's ballad Thordon's Reign provided to players at the time? Naoki Yoshida then answers, "Thank you, I am happy to hear that you're enjoying it. Since the Royal Menagerie was the final battle in Stormblood main scenario, I struggled in adjusting the difficulty level because I wanted players to feel the power of Shinryu during the fight. That is why it's a bit on the difficult side. We are, of course, working on an extreme trial for Shinryu leading up to patch 4.1. We are making adjustments that push the difficulty to the limits so this fight will be as satisfying as the Minstrel's Ballad, Thordon's Reign. Please look forward to it." So,
I will. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I actually really can't wait for that.
Yeah, Thordon Extreme was a really impressive fight at the time. So,
it was probably one of my favorite primal fights. Mm-hmm. Like, at least mechanically.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And to see that it will be as satisfying as that one. I mean, already the fight is really good.
Yeah.
So they don't really have to work too hard to make it better.
No, they just basically have to make mechanics hit harder.
Yeah.
Make things do more things, basically.
Yeah. The main scenario in Stormblood is one of the best Final Fantasy stories I've seen told in quite some time. Can we expect a similar quality and depth in the narrative of Return to Ivalice? Naoki Yoshida answers, "Thank you for your kind words for the main scenario. The story of Return to Ivalice will add both a sense of nostalgia and a fresh and new perspective in hopes that all players will enjoy this new content. The story is written by Mr. Yasumi Matsuno, the creator of Ivalice himself, and as fans of Mr. Matsuno, the development team has been full of excitement as they progress through the creation process." It's just, it doesn't really tell us anything. It's other than it's probably going to be really good.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
I'm excited, but I'm also a little bit...
You worried?
A little bit, yeah. Just the fact that, I guess, Void Arc story, the whole series, didn't really blow me out of the water or anything like that, yeah, you know?
I agree.
So... I hope I'm wrong, and I hope it's like the first time I feel like they put like an extreme amount of work. Because for me, they've always put more work into the actual environments of the raids and the fights themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, designing new enemies, stuff like that, and less work into the actual story.
Yeah.
So hopefully now with, you know, the famous budget increase, that we can get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm still very excited to see how this fits in, because it's very random that it's Return to Ivalice. Like, I mean, it's not random in the, I mean, for some reason 12 has had a link to 14 for a very long time.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, because like Dalmasca and like Ravenaster and stuff, those have been cities since 1.0 technically. So
there was,
I don't know,
there was also that a big conspiracy that everyone was talking about, that Ivalice and Eorzea, or sorry, Ivalice and I guess Hydaelyn was the same place. I remember that. I was on that boat. They're obviously not.
You were on the boat?
No, I wasn't on that, but I just loved that discussion.
They're definitely, I mean, there's definitely a lot of similarities, but
I mean, they wanted to add Viera to 14, and
oh, we're gonna see it. We're gonna see Viera.
Oh yeah,
I'm very certain that we're gonna see Viera's in this raid series.
They have to. I feel like they have to, or else people are gonna get really disappointed. But I know. But you mean? I mean the shoes don't fit. I mean, it could be impossible.
Oh right, yeah, the heels.
Yeah,
heel. She can't be done.
No.
Sorry guys.
Yeah, we still don't know anything about Return to Ivalice, though.
No, I assume, because we have two live letters before 4.1 comes out, I think.
Yeah.
So I assume, hopefully, in the next one, we at least get, like, because they usually give us some preliminary either screenshots or maybe a video.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we see that soon.
Yeah, because we don't even have artwork. And they usually release artwork really early on. So
we have absolutely nothing.
Can't wait to see at least something, because I have no expectations, because I don't know anything. So
yeah, me neither.
Because in my mind, I just want to... I want the raid to take place in Dalmasca, or in, like, in the actual places.
I think you might get your wish.
Please make it happen. Okay. Okay, moving on. Old hunt mobs from our Realm Reborn zones can be defeated incredibly quickly with a new level cap and increased item levels. Are there any plans to dynamically scale these enemies depending on the number of players that are currently that are present during the fight, or address this in any other way? Naoki Yoshida answers, I would like to make a number of changes to the Realm Reborn zones, like the implementation of flying one day. That's a big one. There are currently no specific plans for these types of changes. In regards to hunt mobs... Wait, sorry, I have to read that one again. I think I would like to make a number of changes to the Realm Reborn zones, like the implementation of flying one day, but there are currently no specific plans for these types of changes. In regards to hunt mobs, I would assume everyone would like for us to dedicate our resources to producing new content, rather than taking away from that to work on the Realm Reborn zones. So for the time being, we're focusing on new content creation. This brings up the good old argument of should they abandon old content or not.
See, now for me, it's not old content if people are still doing it.
Right.
So I would kind of say that this isn't actually outdated content that no one's doing. I can totally understand if they're like, yeah, we're going to go, I don't know, fix Zaymel Darkhold. It's like, well, who cares at this point, right?
Yeah.
But they're fixing Crystal Tower. They're, or Labyrinth of the Ancients, I should say. They're fixing the whole tank balance thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And maybe this is just me being looking at it from the outside and not as a game developer, but is it really that hard to just raise something's health?
Yeah, it sounds really simple in my eyes, but...
I don't know. Can you just add a few zeros on there? Like, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
Because they do die way too fast.
They do.
I had the honor of spawning. I need one last S rank that I've never killed from a Realm Reborn, and I sat there for 20 minutes and spawned it. I guess I spawned it and then left to go kill an A rank, and by the time I got back, it was dead already. So I spawned it, and I didn't even touch it.
Wow. That's...
It was bad, man.
Yeah, because that's been like a thing that's been brought up a lot of times, because, I mean, this is... whether we like it or not, it is kind of old content, though. It is a Realm Reborn. So it looks like their strategy is that once they've passed... Because what they did with Labyrinth of the Ancients was... That was because of the roulette that they're implementing, just to ease the roulette queues. That wasn't them just going, let's look at some old content that we can fix. This was just because, for convenience sake, for the roulette. Because right now it feels like they make content and... when they move on to the next expansion, everything that was left behind will probably never be touched again. It's kind of seems like that from what he said there. And that is a bit sad for me.
Because
it's content that could potentially last forever if you just make them scale. I'm talking about the hunt targets now. Because now, it died. You just looked at it and it died. So yeah,
that's a really weird argument. Like, hunts are kind of like they're kind of on their own as far as that kind of stuff. Because yeah, it's technically old content. I mean, it was 2.3 when they added hunts.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like, is it technically old content if people have been doing it every day since then and people still love it? You know, I don't know. I really hope that they do bump it up a little bit, because is there anybody at level 50 that's killing a Realm Reborn hunts? Because I'm sorry, you're not even going to get credit at this point. Like, you're going to be like, oh sweet, what's this giant monster? I'm going to kill it. I've never seen one of these before. And then it's going to just get nuked down in 4 seconds.
Yeah.
and you're gonna get one Centurios or one allied seal or something like that. So
yeah, well, nothing to do about that. It seems like that's not in their, that's not planned. So not even flying is in their plans. Yeah, we already talked about this though. They kind of, they need to redesign the zones.
Yeah.
Overall, it feels like leveling and gearing up one's character is quite a bit easier in Stormblood than it was at the launch of Heavensward. Did the team deliberately lower the amount of grinding required for players to reach the max level and acquire available gear at the start of the expansion? Naoki Yoshida then answers, yes, having looked back at the release of Heavensward, we made adjustments that would allow players to enjoy the story as smoothly as possible from beginning to end, and then embark on further adventures beyond that, or level multiple jobs. Repeated dungeon farming for gear may be the method of choice for some, but we thought that players would enjoy Final Fantasy XIV more in leveling multiple jobs, rather than being limited to this type of repeated farming. Yeah, I kind of agree there. Leveling was way easier in Stormblood than it was in Heavensward. Thank the 12.
There's a lot less stop and go, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it wasn't... I mean, it's been getting increasingly better. I mean, back in even Realm Reborn, it was like, you did two quests, and it's like, yeah, you gotta level up again. Wow. I don't know. Yep. I guess I'd do dungeons or something. So yeah, the pacing was way better, and yeah, honestly, it is way easier to gear up.
Yeah. Like, and it seems like that's, they're happy with how this worked out, and that's probably how we're going to see it for the next expansion.
Probably even for the patches to come.
Yeah, maybe. Let's get to the jump puzzles. Are we going to get more jump puzzles like the ones in Kugane? I would like to see the short one in Rolger's Reach eventually lead all the way up to his palm. Naoki Yoshida then answers, creating content that allows players to climb up onto the palm is not difficult from a development standpoint, but creating the view of this field, of the field one would see once having reached the top is is not something we can accommodate at this time due to the current memory limits. However, the jump puzzles, such as the one seen in Kugane, have been very well received, and the development team enjoys creating them as well. So we're talking about adding more fun elements like that moving forward. Stay tuned for future updates. Memory limits? What does he mean?
I don't know. I just feel like they're just like, this is hard. Memory problems. I feel like that's just this. I mean, that was what they said with PS3 stuff, was like memory limits.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like the vague thing. Okay, what memory limits? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, I don't understand what that means. Is that like, is he referring to the client? Like, client probably. Side or server side? Yeah.
It would be server side. It would probably be client side, yeah.
That's strange. Just use low poly. I don't understand. Just, okay, whatever. Let's not go into...
I totally agree with you 100%. I just want to point out also, he's like, oh, that'd be so easy to make a jump puzzle.
Yeah.
It's not easy to just, but it's not easy to just add health to a mob.
Okay, so now this is more interesting. Eureka is a piece of content many players are waiting on, but I don't believe there has been any official word of its actual release date. Since the anima weapon was released in 3.1, can we expect Eureka to launch in a similar time frame for Stormblood? Naoki Yoshida answers, we are currently working on the production of Eureka, but because this is new content with fundamentally different gameplay from any current content, it of course takes time to fully develop. Currently, we're working very hard to keep up with the current update schedule, but the release timing is still not solidified. We will reveal more information during an upcoming live letter, so stand by for just a little longer. Fundamentally different gameplay from any current content.
So was Diadem. I'm very, very... on the fence about Eureka. I really hope I'm surprised, but
yeah, because Yoshi P has pulled this one before. Like,
exactly,
he likes to exaggerate.
It's kind of like the whole fool me once, fool me twice thing.
Yeah, although so. I feel like they've learned from the Diadem. It sounds like, because they like went so far as to say, like, to even like acknowledge that the Diadem was a complete and utter failure. And from what I've heard, even in Japan, that they didn't like it. Well. Yeah. So
I think to get me really excited for Eureka. Well, okay, that's not true, because I'm already excited because I love doing relic weapons.
Yeah.
But for me to be excited about doing relic weapons, even though I'm going to do them anyways, I'm going to need like some inkling of information. Mm. They still haven't really even told us, like, this is the base concept of Eureka. Like, are you killing enemies, or is it just fates the whole time? Is it like, what is it, you know?
Yeah.
So I need something. Hopefully we get them during, because I mean, they said it says an upcoming live letter, so hopefully it's the next one that we get something.
Oh god, getting both Return to Ivalice and Eureka information,
that'd be fantastic. Hello.
Did we ever get any word on the artifact armor? No, sorry, the relic armor.
They just said that it was very much being considered.
Yeah. So do you think they'll implement it, or do you think it's just? I think they'll probably just release the relic first, see how that one is. Because I think they said something about changing, because the relic is tied to Eureka now. So right. I guess they'll just see how that works before they add. I don't think the relic armor, if they decide to do it, is added with the relic weapon. I somehow find that hard to, because they everything is difficult for them. So they like to release like a little bit at a time.
I guess I'm just kind of worried. I feel like it's almost too much, you know? Like it's easy to have relic weapons be the best weapon at certain times throughout the game.
Yeah.
Because on even numbers patches, it's debatably the hardest thing in the game at the time, right?
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that, but to have it so it's like now you have the best gear in the entire game, best in slot, from spamming Eureka over and over again.
Yeah.
I'm kind of,
but
I don't know.
The whole spamming, you said spamming Eureka, because I remember him specifically saying that this was just a place he could travel to. Because I specifically remember him saying that, because that we've talked about this before, that if this has a time limit, I'm going to rage. Mm. If this is an instance where you have like an hour,
I don't know, yeah.
I'm going to get slightly upset, because that's the worst part about Diadem almost.
Kind of always assumed it was.
Mm.
But I mean, I have nothing to base that off of. It's just my assumption.
Remember that it's fundamentally different.
So. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, yeah.
I'm assuming Eureka is going to be the only way to get your animas and, or sorry, your relic weapons and your relic armor done.
Yeah.
I assume it would only be left side gear anyways. Like if it's full, like accessories and everything, that's.
That's overkill.
No, that's too much. Yeah. But could you imagine doing like, essentially six relic weapons, the amount of work of six relic weapons for one job?
Yeah.
What if you wanted to gear up another job? Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see for this. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Okay, in our previous interview, you mentioned the consideration of implementing a super savage difficulty encounter for odd patches. We kind of already know how this is going. Might we get a hint as to what the first super savage encounter will be if it is to come in patch 4.1? Does the team have an official name for these types of encounters similar to savage and extreme difficulties? Naoki Yoshida answers, production is moving along smoothly, and just looking at the specification documents that detail the battle mechanics makes me a bit dizzy. There is a lot going on during the fight. I think the battle will have a very special feel and also be nostalgic to some players in its difficulty. But you will have to wait for more information in an upcoming letter from the producer live leading up to patch 4.1. By the way, we won't be calling it V5 Savage. We are creating an independent battle and we plan to make it into a series. There is a name already decided for the series, and while I would love to tell you, I can't yet.
Is it just me, or does that kind of sound like it's a brand new fight?
It kind of does, doesn't it?
We're creating an independent battle, which I guess could go either way, mm-hmm. but have we planned to make it into a series?
Yeah. The name of the series is already decided as well, so...
Like, that could be interpreted in many different ways.
It could be, he said nostalgic, which is could be a key word here. It could be Twin Tanya. It could be, like, all the old raid bosses again, like we talked about in the last episode. But it could also be bosses from other Final Fantasies. Do you think they'll put that much work into it, though, for content that very few people will ever reach?
Yeah, that's why I didn't think that they... I assumed it wouldn't be.
I mean, kudos if they actually do, because hardcore players, they need some love too, but...
Well, I mean, if they did put a lot of work into it, that would get more people to try it out.
Oh, yeah. It would be a great incentive.
I mean, it would actually, you know, like, just like I've seen so many people trying Omega Savage because they want to actually see Neo X death. Mm-hmm. So, like, if they did that, that'd be great, but I don't know. I'm just really confused by that answer, honestly.
Yeah.
I really am.
It's exciting, though, if it is actually a new fight. Yeah, well, we don't really have it. We don't have anything to go on from that, but no. Other than it's nostalgic. It's nostalgic to some players in its difficulty, which, again, makes me think that it might be Twin Tanya and stuff like that, because Twin Tanya was... pretty hard when it came out.
Yeah, there's some stuff that I would definitely consider nostalgic in that. I don't know for wouldn't necessarily say they're all good, but
anyways, that's the interview right there with Naoki Yoshida the interview Mr. Happy did with Naoki Yoshida. Let's move on then to patch 4.05. Omega Savage was released with that patch, and it was cleared after around 16 hours by Angered FC on Ragnarok represent. How long did it take for Creator to be cleared? Do you remember? It was less than 16 hours.
Was it?
I think so, yeah. Wasn't it cleared in like less than 12 hours? I think... Or am I... remembering this wrong? It might be Midas.
I thought it was over a day.
Was it really?
I honestly don't know. I don't remember. It was cleared fast regardless. I would say this is probably a similar difficulty to Creator.
Yeah. Even though they said it was going to be harder, which it clearly wasn't, seeing as it was cleared this quickly. Although that it is important to note that these are very hardcore players. This is what they do.
They're constantly,
yeah,
like you compare them even to how they were when like Midas and Gordius came out. They're so much better players now, like they've just been constantly improving, and there's honestly at some point they're just not going to be able to, like, the development team can't keep up with them almost,
yeah,
at a certain point. Although a lot of people have been complaining it's a little too easy, it's not that great. I'm actually glad that it's at the difficulty it is personally. Because this gives them room to make each tier harder than the last, which is something that they've never properly accomplished before in the history of this game. every single tier, the second ones have been the hardest out of all of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or in some cases, debatably the first.
Yeah, I guess Coil would, yeah.
Well, I mean, like, turn 9 is by far the hardest.
Oh, yeah, true.
Like, by far.
Yeah.
So this actually gives them an opportunity to have 1 through 12 actually escalate in difficulty. Now, I assume 5 is going to be easier than 4, of course, but at least, like, if you average out the tiers, they should be getting progressively harder, which I think is something that would make raiding make a lot more sense to people.
Yeah.
So I'm actually glad that it's at the difficulty it is.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. Oh, and you've actually done, because I haven't touched Savage yet.
Yeah, I did 1 and 2 so far.
How do you?
I think they're really great fights.
Yeah.
Like, 1 was really simple. Like,
what a surprise.
It's it's basically normal mode with no walls.
Yeah.
It's pretty much what it is. Mm. Two was actually like, it was really fun. I think they did some really cool, like, new stuff there and I was glad about. I have a few mechanics in there that I'm like, that is, I would love to see that more often. My favorite out of all of them is there's a split marker, and obviously everybody's got a stack in the middle of it. Before people get marked with, like, they basically explode, kind of like Allagan Rot or something like that, but bigger.
Right.
And you have to float, but stand on the edges of the split markers that you still split it. But when you get hit, you get knocked back to the edges of the thing. So everybody spreads the knockback. Super cool mechanics like that. And I was like, I was really happy to see interesting new stuff. And it wasn't just like a rehash of old mechanics.
Well, that's good. Yeah, because I've seen the fights from YouTube. And I've noticed that, like you said, there's new stuff in here. That's not just rehashed stuff. And I also watched the third one. I was surprised that maybe they cut the video, the one that I saw, but there was no desert area part. That surprised me.
Yeah. It was something they designed for normal mode, I guess. I don't know.
That's so weird. But yeah, they added a lot of new stuff in that fight too, so that looks cool. Yeah. And then, of course, we have to talk about Neo Exdeath. You were right. There he was in Savage V4. And I have to say, that transition is amazing.
That was amazing, right?
Yeah.
It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in this game.
Yeah.
And I love how he's his own, like, Faust, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's like, oh man, the Exdeath fight's gonna be so hard, and it is hard, but it's not the actual fight.
Nope.
Like, you beat Exdeath and Neo Exdeath thing happens, and if you die, you don't have to beat Exdeath again.
Yep.
You just start back on Neo Exdeath, so it's like, all right, man. It was amazing. Yep. I was utterly impressed by how much work they put into that. Yeah. It's like, I think that's like the first time a Savage fight has been entirely different from its normal counterpart. Like, if you showed somebody normal and Savage, you would not assume they're the same fight whatsoever. No. You would assume that they're completely different encounters. It was really good.
Yeah, it was. And that's a very good sign for what's to come in that raid series. So it's not going to be an Alex repeat, it seems.
No. I can't wait to get my ass kicked by him, because I'm not going to be able to beat it for a long time. Looks really hard.
Yeah. Also, they added Lost Canals of Vesnair, but none of us have done it yet, so we can't actually comment on it. I've been gathering maps. That's what I've been doing. So I'm ready to do them. I might do one after this podcast.
Just so you can say you did.
Yeah. But job adjustments for White Mage, we have to talk about that. That's a thing that we do here. Plenary Indulgence got a facelift. Let's take the less impressive one, the Secret of the Lily. Surprise, Cure 1 will now give you 100% chance of spawning a lily. What a surprise. Okay. Yeah. So, Plenary Indulgence got a pretty big change, and I'll just read what it is first. Party members will no longer be granted a confession when HP is restored via Cure and Cure 2. They will instead be granted a confession when HP is restored via Medica, Medica 2, or Cure 3. The chance of granting party members a confession has been increased from 20% to 100%. The duration of the confession has been reduced from 30 to 10 seconds. And healing potency.
There's going to be no timer. They made the timer worse.
Healing potency based on the. Okay, let's just take that first. When I read that, I had to read it several times because I thought, what are they doing? They're going backwards.
Hated it at first.
Yeah.
I thought it was terrible.
Yeah, we'll get to the actual utility when we're done here. Healing potency based on the number of stacks of confession has been reduced from 400 for one stack, 500 for two stacks, and 600 for three stacks to 150 for one stack, 300 for two stacks, and 450 for three stacks. Recast time increased from 15 seconds to 60 seconds. Confession stacks will now also be granted to the player casting Medica 2 or Cure 3. So at first I was slightly annoyed by this. Because on paper it sounds horrible. But as I've used it, It actually works pretty well. It's a nice extra heal, especially in fights where you have to share damage and you cast a cure 3, but you haven't topped them up quite yet. So you can use Plenary Indulgence to just top them up that final little stretch.
I basically hit it until I stepped foot in Savage and I was like, oh,
yeah,
yeah, no, it's really good here.
Yeah.
The only weird thing to me now, though, is that it's essentially a free AoE heal, as you were saying, right?
Yeah.
So now White Mage has even better MP
management. Yeah.
Like, yeah. All right. Yeah. It's good. I still personally would have rather seen a buff to the way it was originally going.
Mm.
Like something you could heal your tanks with. Or
yeah. To build up Confession Strikes without a timer.
Right.
But yeah. This is
definitely better.
It is. It is better than it was. Definitely so better. I'm happy with that change for once. Let's talk about Scholar. Scholar got some changes as well. Some of them we already kind of knew. Emergency Tactics has been reduced from 30 to 20 seconds recast time. Oh God, I've realized why I hate Scholar. I can't pronounce any of these. What's that one called?
Indomitability?
Yeah, that one, yeah. Healing potency increased from 400 to 500. Excogitation healing potency increased from 650 to 800. Duration increased from 30 to 45 seconds. And recast time reduced from 60 to 45 seconds.
That's good stuff.
A pretty significant potency increase.
Yeah, especially because excogitation is probably the best scholar ability,
yeah,
in my opinion. I'm not a good scholar, so I could easily be wrong, but for me as a tank, I love it.
Yeah. I mean, duration increased and recast time reduced as well, so that's good stuff. Fey Union range increased from 10 to 15 yalms.
They fixed it.
The fairy gauge will no longer deplete when channeling from Fey Union is interrupted. So that
is the best change right there. I watched so many scholars tether to somebody. The tether breaks, and then by the time the person walks back in range, their fairy gauge has been depleted by then.
Yeah.
So they literally just wasted all their build up on nothing.
Changes to Aether Pact. Aether Flow actions are no longer required to inflict an effect on a target to increase the fairy gauge. Right. Quickened Aether Flow. Reductions to the recast time of Aether Flow changed from 10 to 5 seconds. Change to reduce the recast time of Aether Flow increased from 20 to 100%. So that's
good.
Good.
It makes a lot of people have been saying it makes dissipation way more useful.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because you get three stacks, right? Mm. So you can essentially shorten your Aether Flow recast by 30 seconds. So there's a lot of good uses for it.
Right.
It's nothing crazy. I don't think it's gonna go and solve all of their MP problems, but it's a start at least.
Yeah, I still yeah. Let's not talk about scholars' issues again. Astrologian. Astrologian got some unexpected changes, to say the least. The balance, single target, increase to damage dealt, reduced from 20% to 10%. Rest in peace.
Why now?
I don't know.
Why didn't they do this with Stormblood?
Such a strange
thing. I'm so confused.
Okay, and then the spear has changed. The effect of this ability has been changed from reduces ability recast time for a party member or self by 20% for 20 seconds, which is the spear we all knew, to increases the critical hit rate for a party member or self by 10% for 20 seconds.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
It's still a strange thing, but it's good, I guess. The balance.
Balance.
Right.
It's not as good as balance because it's still RNG whether you crit or not. But
yeah.
I've been leveling Astrologian. I'll actually use the spear now. I got nothing else, whatever. I'll put a spear on it. especially if it's a monk or something.
Yeah. The balance, again, area of effect has Damage dealt as zombie reduced from 10% to 5% for AoE. And the spear area of effect has been changed from ability recast time reduction for party yourself by 10% for 20 seconds to increases the critical hit rate for target and all nearby party members by 5% for 20 seconds. They've also an undraw. That's undraw recast time has been reduced from 5 to 3 seconds. And hyper... What?
Yeah. It's the button that makes you throw away your card.
Yeah,
basically.
Okay. Yeah. And hyper light speed no longer reduces the recast time of light speed upon restoring critical HP with benefic or benefic 2. The recast time of light speed will now be reduced upon executing essential dignity. Reduction to the recast time of light speed changed from 5 to 10 seconds. Yeah. I think the one everyone's talking about is, of course, the balance and the spear changes. Because,
yeah,
sure. It's pretty significant changes there. The balance, I've seen so many memes already for Rest in Peace balance.
It is still the best card.
It is, but it's, like, it's not as
good. It's just not. I mean, I get what they were going for, and I agree with it. It's basically, before it was, if you don't pull a balance,
yeah,
just stop.
Yeah.
Just stop. Just don't. But now, you know, balance, the arrow, and the spear are all viable options that you could use now. So,
yeah,
I'm happy about it personally.
Yeah, it
sucks a little bit, but
it's sad for. I know that most Astrologians are kind of pissed, but hey. Another strange thing, healer role actions. Asuna's MP cost has been reduced. I haven't really thought about Asuna's MP cost for being too high.
Well, I didn't think it was bad. I don't know. I don't even know what it was. Only looked at the MP cost after they made this change. I'm like, oh, it is low.
Yeah. So they also gave Scholar Miasma 2. That one is now unlockable at level 46. So yay, you got another AoE.
Somebody was saying in chat though,
what?
It costs 9% of their total MP.
Whoa.
And only lasts 12 seconds.
Great. That's great.
But, hey, it's something.
That's something scholars needed. And more stuff to drain their MP.
Yeah, exactly. For sure.
Astrologian then got their Empty Road and Undraw Spread, which I guess these are the ones that remove your cards.
Yeah, Royal Roads and Spread.
Yeah. We also got Elegant Tombstones of Creation, which, yeah, it's just your average tombstones with 450 cap, weekly cap, reset on Tuesdays. This one fell under the radar for a lot of people. To further improve matching speeds for Duty Roulette leveling, Duty Finder language settings will now be ignored. So you might end up with not a Japanese player. Not if you're in a non-JP data center.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of confused by that, because I'm pretty sure there's not very many people, especially on NA, where, you know, there's...
For a person on Ragnarok, that is a dangerous thing, because...
I was going to say, that affects you a lot.
But hey, it's just leveling. It's only for leveling, though, so... And yeah, it does probably decrease the queue times for leveling.
Do you personally do you set your language selections to everything, or do you have it as specific ones?
I have never touched it. I don't think I've ever. There was some point where you had to do that to get. Yeah, I did it for PvP. I think when it came out, so it might still be. Set to every single language right now. I'm not sure.
Yeah, mine's been set to every single language for.
No, you know what? I turned it off because I got in a group. Yeah, I've told this story before, but I did Braveflock's long stop with a tank that didn't speak English and did not acknowledge English at all, and it was the worst run of my life because he did not understand the last boss, and we ran out of time. After that, I changed back to English only. So I remember it very clearly because I think I was the only English one, and there was like a French guy and a German guy, and everyone spoke their own.
I was gonna say, that's the worst thing, is that like if you have four people speaking four different languages, it's like you're screwed.
Yeah,
you are screwed.
I just remember the feeling of just having no control So I was like, guys, please.
I can't do anything to help right now.
I tried using the auto translate, but it just didn't work because I couldn't explain the boss with the auto translate. It was, oh my god, it was awful. I guess that's a European problem. I don't think the NA servers have that issue to that degree.
I mean, the only Europeans that play on NA servers speak English.
Yeah.
Or else they wouldn't be playing on NA servers. So that is definitely not a problem on NA. So hopefully that doesn't impact you guys too much. Hopefully you don't have any more Brave Flux long stuff.
If that happens, God, I will never do leveling roulette again. The time remaining until the weekly reset for Elegant Tombstones will now display under the battle tab of the currency window. Which is it's not a big deal, but it's a neat little quality of life change they did.
But they managed to mess it up, though.
Did they?
Yeah, it says hours and seconds. I was really confused with staring at it. I'm like, why isn't it going down? They meant minutes. They meant minutes. Nice. Oh, okay, all right.
Good job.
No, but they totally put seconds.
Wow. Okay. Well, whenever they fix it, it's going to be a neat little feature.
They might have fixed it in the hot fixes last time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. There were hot fixes as well. PvP actions. Got a lot of changes as well. I don't know if we should go through all of them, but some of them are pretty interesting.
The big ones are unmanned is finally going up in recast time. See, unmanned is my worst nightmare in PvP.
Oh yeah, which
that's
one?
The one that...
Oh yeah, that's the one that pulls you in. Yeah.
Yeah.
God.
So they're increasing that, thankfully.
So that's for Dark Knight.
Most of them are not that big of a deal.
I have to say, though, for White Mage and for all healers, their HP has been upped from 12,500 to 13,500. I don't know if that's... that also happened to Monk.
But it's less. They only got bumped up to
13,000.
Yeah. So, which makes sense, because healers are way more of a target.
Yeah, that's true. Also, they've... Fluid Aura has been... Recast time has been reduced from 30 to 20 seconds. The additional effect reduces Fluid Aura recast time by a percentage corresponding to the number of healing lilies stacked at time of action execution, at which time the lilies are removed, has been removed.
Good.
Because binding Good. Fucking Fluid Aura to the healing gauge...
And like, sometimes I would just... I would be like looking. I'd be like, do I use it?
Yeah.
I need to use it, but I don't want to waste three lilies. What do I do? Fuck it. I'll use it. It's like.
Also, Sathalan in chat points out that it still says hours, seconds.
Oh, okay.
They haven't fixed it. Divine Benshin, healing lily requirement has been removed.
Good.
That's also a big deal.
That's just PvP before anybody.
This is PvP. PvP.
Yeah, this is PvP only.
Disclaimer, PvP. Region has had its healing potency increase from 1,000 to 1,500. That's not too big. But Stone 3's cast time has been reduced from 1.8 to 1.3 seconds.
Healer.
Yeah. Which main. Makes sense because we only have one attack. That's the only attack we have.
And it honestly just doesn't feel like it's doing anything.
No. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, there's not much more to really point out. It's also funny to see that for Dragoon, I think, the only thing they did was increase. Yeah, they only increased the HP. That was the only thing they did with Dragoon.
They're really good.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. The strength attribute has been added to tank accessories at item level 290 and above. I haven't checked those yet. But will this prevent people from using...
Yes.
Okay.
It absolutely does.
Good.
Yeah, with melds, it's more than you could get before. Okay. I know. The first day, I was so anxious. I'm like, are these going to be garbage? No, they're great. They're actually awesome.
Okay, good. Yeah, so that's it for the stuff from patch 4.05. And then there's like an absurd thing that they announced, which I don't understand. They made like a whole post on the lodestone for this.
Do we have a date for this? I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter. Who cares? Anyways, but
it says early August is the release of this. With the release of patch 4.0, the sale price of grades 2 through 5 carbonized matter was changed in accordance with the removal from duties, quests, and gathering. However, pricing for these items is scheduled to be returned to their original values in early August with the release of patch 4.06. Players who possess carbonized matter are encouraged to sell them to NPC vendors prior to this update. And let's just look at the prices here. Grade 2 carbonized matter, price before patch 4.06, 50 gil. Price after 4.06, 4 gil. Grade 3, previously 100 gil, after 4.06, 7 gil. And grade 4, 500 gil, after 11 gil. And grade 5, 1,000 gil, after 4.06, 14 gil. So make sure you sell those carbonized matters as soon as possible.
I have nothing to say.
It's an interesting post. That's all I have to say. It's a weird thing to announce.
Does that really require a numbered patch? Could they have just done that?
They could have done it in the hotfix that they just had.
Exactly. Like, I saw patch 4.06 and was like, oh yeah, what do we get? And I'm so excited. Fucking carbonized matter changes? All right, guys, that's great.
Yeah.
I hope we didn't get anybody excited for that. Just that being in the notes.
God. Yeah, so that's actually everything we have for today. Thank you to everyone for watching tonight's episode. I'm Lukeel Brayson. I'm joined by Yaspot. Follow us on social media and all that. It's right above us. Discord server, /Discord, if you're watching live. And if you're watching this on demand, you should see the link in the description. Also, make sure to check out our website, speakersxiv.com, because there's people working on that now. So, yeah. We'll be back next week, hopefully with Mela back. Until then, guys, bye!
Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Speakers of Heidelin. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/speakersxiv and on Facebook at facebook.com/speakersxiv to stay up to date on the latest from Speakers of Heidelin. If you want to watch the show live, the show runs every Saturday at 7 p.m. GMT, 12 p.m. PDT on twitch.tv/speakersofheidelin and on youtube.com/speakersxiv, where we also archive each episode in video format. If you want to support the show, consider pledging to our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/speakersxiv. Thank you!